News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump telling ABC there is more to come after Israel attacked Iran's nuclear facilities and assassinated two of Iran's top generals. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
Sirens actually rang out across the entire country here in Israel, not because the Iranians were striking the Israelis, but because the Defense Department wanted to tell the entire country that they had launched a preemptive strike on Iran.
Iran did strike back, launching about 100 drones toward Israel overnight. ABC's Mary Bruce.
The president this morning is set to meet with his National Security Council in the Situation Room. And this morning, he still seems to be holding out hope that somehow these nuclear talks can be salvaged, posting just a short while ago, urging Tehran to come to the table, saying Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left, adding, just do it before it is too late.
This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. An immigrant man wrongly accused of threatening to assassinate President Donald Trump can be released from Wisconsin prison on bond. Ramon Morales-Reyes was accused of writing a letter threatening Trump in a blistering social media post by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. But the claims quickly fell apart as authorities determined that Reyes was framed. Judge Carla Espinoza set Morales-Reyes's bond at $7,500 during a brief hearing Tuesday at Immigration Court in Chicago. He could be released from a Wisconsin prison this week. Following the move in the 2023-24 season at UW-Madison, UW-Stevens Point will explore sale of alcoholic beverages at hockey and basketball games. Pointer's athletic director Brad Duckworth says it would mean a new revenue stream and bring a measure to control consumption during games. The Stevens Point Park Commission has signed off, but Duckworth emphasizes more approvals from the university and city are needed. The city operates Community Stadium at Gork Park and the adjacent KB Willett Ice Arena. Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation officials say they are preparing to cut back on some of the programs they offer over the next couple of years following a drop in revenue. The agency brings in most of its funding from economic development surcharges, and officials say the revenue brought in from those surcharges have not kept pace with inflation. The agency saw a $4 million drop in revenue, and funding is expected to decline even further. Governor Tony Evers called for a 160% budget increase for the agency in his biennial budget proposal.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave.
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to see some scattered showers and thunderstorms, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by the ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Johnson, to talk about the MAGA regime's denial of reality as federal budget cuts loom.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, Friday the 13th of June, 2025. And coming up, of course, on Fridays, it'll be our Week in Review panel with Chicago journalists Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. By the way, I neglected to mention last hour, folks would normally hear Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil. He's on vacation this week, which is why we played back some of our interview with Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein about the state budget. But I think we have Kia back next week. I forget how long his vacation goes here. But we will have our regular Week in Review panel here. And then 1 hour from now, we will be interviewing Chris Taylor, Judge Chris Taylor, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, potential candidate to go up against far-right Justice Rebecca Bradley in next year's state Supreme Court race in April. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for that. And then just after 8:30, Mike Clemens will be here. A lot of weekend sports to go over, including the big debut last night for a Brewers pitching phenom who was pitching lights out until he rolled his ankle. So we'll have an update on that coming up as well. So much still ahead, including the weekend forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And as I'm looking at the river of rain on the radar here, Brittany, it stretches from roughly Duluth to La Crosse. It's that wide and stretches way back into the mountains pretty much. I mean, it's just this river of rain that's going to pour right over Wisconsin for a while.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, we've already picked up a half an inch to an inch and a half to places far west already. And this is just the start of it. So we've got another half an inch to an inch to go today, maybe another half an inch still tomorrow as well. And then we could still see some a little bit linger. And we've got rain, honestly, as we go into the entire next week too. So a very, very active, unsettled pattern. And of course, cloudy skies for a majority of the state. There is spots of sunshine far south along the state line, Madison, Milwaukee area. You could see that as well. So you have chances to stay dry, more sunshine south. That rain is going to continue to pour up north as we go through our day today, becoming moderate to heavy at times. A few rumbles of thunder are also possible as well. And then by this afternoon, a few scattered storms could pop up in the southern areas. Now, it's a smaller chance, but there is that chance. So heads up for that. Otherwise, you're staying dry. Highs today will make it only to the mid-50s where it's raining, mid-70s far south. And as we go to tomorrow morning, spotty rain lingers far northeast. We are looking at some more showers and storms sparking up far northwest in the afternoon and then rolling through the state through the evening. Highs tomorrow will be about 60 degrees up north, 80 degrees down south. So if you're looking for the summer weather and some sunshine, southern parts is where it's at. But everyone is going to be dry on Sunday. highs in the 70s statewide. But I'll tell you what, heads up, Monday, get that AC ready. It's going to start to get pretty hot and humid with some stronger to severe storms possible. This week, nothing to worry about.
This is more of a nuisance, yep. And then the hot and humid comes back. But for Absolutely. Now, nothing like that rain with a stiff east wind slapping it right in your face there.
Oh, I know. But you know what? That east wind yesterday, I think it cut off a lot of the rainfall for a lot of the state for a while. So it actually helped a little bit. But now, here it is.
All right. By the way, your Scotty Summer text to win keyword is coming up in just a moment or two here. First, to pass along on YouTube, Cassandra talking about in our last segment, my husband still sews because his mom taught him. He made an anatomically correct heart for me to take to work. That's very sweet.
I would like to know your profession.
What's that?
I would like to know your profession, Cassandra, because a correct heart.
Anatomically correct heart. It could be fun, you know? So anyway, yes, men should learn to sew too. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Light rain, windy, 48 degrees, 4/10 of an inch of rain. Mowed 2 yards in the town of Germania. They were big yards. I had a Big Mac salad at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. It was very good. He says, when the Breakfast Club came out in 1984, I was a junior in high school. Remember seeing that movie in Wausau. Definitely jacket type of weather. A northeast wind makes it feel a lot colder. And then concludes by saying, maybe next week you play that Supertramp song, It's Raining Again, for the next week.
But yes, that's perfect, Rob.
Yes. Oh, and Cassandra is an ICU nurse.
Okay. This is an acceptable thing, though. Okay.
It totally tracks. Yes, exactly. All right, Brittany, thanks. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Let's get that Scotty Summer text to win contest all done. Final day of it today. Statewide contest on nearly every Civic Media station or 4 times a day. You can win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. There's a Wisconsin Dells Baraboo area getaway and one in Door County as well. Some gas money to get you there. Each time throughout the day, including 3 more times after this before the contest ends, different keywords, text them to us through the Civic Media app. Go to the app, go to one of the stations, use the text button, text us this hour's keyword. And this hour's keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword is water. Again, water, W-A-T-E-R, water is the keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets. You have until the end of this hour to text that in, and then you will be eligible for this hour's prize of the Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings as well. And only 3 more chances to play, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword to text in is water, W-A-T-E-R. I love that we're giving away the Brewers tickets. These are such good seats, and I'm pretty sure that once the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is done, we will be going back to where we do some free ticket Fridays for Brewers games. So you'll want to be listening on Fridays throughout the summer here as we try to get you in the seats there at American Family Field. A lot of folks were there last night to see the debut of the Brewers' top pitching prospect, Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old, making his major league debut last night against the St. Louis Cardinals. And I thought it was pretty cool that he set him down 1-2-3 in the first inning. Second inning, he faced 3 batters, but he needed a double play because he had a walk. And then there were still no hits after 3 innings, no hits after 4 innings. I'm like, this guy's just pitched his first 4 innings of Major League Baseball, no hits. 5 innings, still no hits. At that point, at the place where I'm sitting and kind of looking at the game on my phone, I'm like, guys, this kid has a no-hitter going through 5. Comes out for the 6th inning. I mean, this kid's throwing 100 miles, 101, 102 miles an hour. 102 miles an hour. Comes in, throws a few on the 6th inning, rolls his ankle, says he's feeling cramping in his right leg, and leaves the game with a no-hitter into the 6th inning. Apparently not serious. We will talk to Mike Clemens about that coming up next hour as the Brewers continue their series with the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, the Brewers did win. They brought the bats out. 6-0 was the final. A nice home run by Jackson Churio among the scoring. The series continues against the Cardinals in Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward. So again, tune in on the radio. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. For folks that are following the Stanley Cup Finals and who have to go to bed early, like me, thinking that Florida was going to win another one, they were up 3-0 after the first period. Edmonton came all the way back, even took the lead. And then Florida tied it up with 20 seconds left in regulation, so they went to overtime. And Edmonton was your winner, 5-4 in overtime. The Stanley Cup Finals are tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tomorrow in Edmonton. The NBA Finals tip off tonight, Game 4 in Indiana, where Indiana has a 2-1 lead over Oklahoma City. And then we've got the WIAA Girls Softball Championships in play in Madison right now. We've got Packers mini camp to talk about with Mike Clemens as well. Jordan Love getting married. Aaron Rodgers getting married. There's just so much to cover here. Oh, and a Brewers pitcher is demanding a trade as well. So we got a lot to talk about here with Mike when we meet up with him after our interview with Chris Taylor and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us as well. If you missed it, also in the last hour, we basically gave you an update on the legislature and trying to craft a state budget. We mentioned at the start of the week that Republicans basically walked away from the negotiating table. Governor Evers was willing to meet them when it came to a tax cut plan. They were not willing to meet him in doing the things a state budget is supposed to do, like support our schools. And so you saw that reflected in what the Joint Finance Committee did yesterday, where they worked on their tax cut plan, and they worked on a special education spending plan that does increase the state's reimbursement for special education to public schools, but not nearly to the level that would be needed to end what is an endless string of school referendums going on around the state. Republicans are looking at the dollar amount and saying, look, we voted to increase special education funding by more than $200 million. Governor Evers was saying, yeah, it actually, you need to add another $900 million more to make schools whole and to end this endless cycle of referendums. But set aside the dollar amounts for a moment and just look at the reimbursement rate at which, you know, the state will help school districts for that larger price tag that comes with special education. Back in 1980, I learned from Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in 1980, the state reimbursed 2/3 of the cost of special education, 66%. It had come down to about 30%. And then it came up in the last budget to 32%. And Governor Evers said, look, can we at least get back to 60%? Let's get to 60%, help out with special education costs, especially since Republicans reimburse voucher schools at 90%. 90% reimbursement for special education for voucher schools. The governor said, could we at least get to 60? Because we're at 32 right now. Republicans were like those guys in the pawn shop show going, best we can do is 37.5. So that's what they voted on, 37.5, which enables them to say, look at the millions and millions of dollars we put into it, without acknowledging they're hundreds of millions of dollars short. And so you, dear property taxpayer, will continue making up the difference, even as Republican legislators sit on a state surplus of $4 billion. Now, Republicans did work on their tax cut plan as well. And according to Jesse O'Poyne's story in the Journal Sentinel, it means about 1.5 million Wisconsinites will pay lower income taxes. The Republicans are allocating about $1.3 billion to it. It does expand the state's second lowest tax bracket. So it does not seem like an unreasonable tax cut plan. But again, the real story is the governor said, yeah, this isn't what I'd write, but I can go along with this. Now, how about you guys help out our schools that you've been underfunding for 16 years? And Republicans said, no, it's something, it's a shortfall they would just as soon perpetuate. And that's what we have happening right now. All right, still ahead, we'll be talking with our Week in Review panel, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze, later Judge Chris Taylor running for Supreme Court, Kristen Lierley, Mike Clemens, all from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Bill Miller will be joining us soon in Richland Center, a musician of worldwide acclaim, and we're just so lucky to have him coming back to Richland Center. You know, there's so many artists, though, I think, that feed off of one another when you write music.
Oh, it is. It's a community.
Yeah.
Big-time community of artists. But in the same sense, what I realize with the Whammies and with as I come back home, there's a lot of musicians here that are very gifted in Milwaukee and Green Bay and La Crosse and throughout the state. I want to push, though, for more original artists. I really want them to sing their songs because anybody can do cover. Nothing, not anybody, but you know what I mean. There's a lot of cover bands, enough in Wisconsin to go, you know, till the ice age again. But I think that there's a lot of beautiful songwriters in the state of Wisconsin. I'm hoping to encourage them and bless them.
Well, you won the Whammy Hall of Fame honors. How does that compare? Mm-hmm. Because I know you've got Grammys and whatnot. How does that compare to some of that you won over the years?
It's an honor in a different way. It's to be honored by your own state in a state that didn't understand me for being from a Native American point of view on some of my music. It wasn't negative towards them, but a lot of people were kind of afraid of it. But to be accepted was a deep award. I'm happy with it. It's like getting your grandma to make your own apple pie and said, you have the whole apple pie? It's my hometown pie.
Yeah,
I feel good about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you've been busy? Have you been putting out some new music, writing some new stuff along the way?
Well, I'm starting to. It's been busy touring. I've got grandkids. I've still got a life. I just got married last October at Johnny Cash's mansion and his cabin, the Cash Cabin. John Carter Cash was my best man. And so, yeah, there's a new life in me now. But I'm also just reconnecting. It's funny how a certain age things you reconnect with. You know, it's almost like, my tribe is Mohican, or you say the real word is Mahicanuk, and it means people from where the waters are never still. And they never have been still. And I think that I'm identifying more with my roots than I've ever done. I don't know why. I'm not about to die or anything, but it just gets to a point where you think of the things that mean the most to you. And I think that's what these awards did for me. They brought me back home.
John Carter Cash and the Cash family, not many people can name drop like that. I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing to be connected with them.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I was chasing after them either. John met me at the Grammys quite a long time ago, and he knew who I was. He asked me to come in and play on a couple of these big stars' albums, and then I met the family, and by that time his dad was sick and he passed away. But John brought out a song that his dad wrote about Tecumseh, and he said, nobody's ever finished the music or the lyrics. Can you finish this song? And I did, and it's on a big album with a bunch of others. So I can now say I co-wrote one with Johnny Cash called Tecumseh. You have to look it up. It's online.
Awesome. I know Tori Amos, was that kind of one of your big breaks too?
Oh, it was a major break. Tori means the world to me. I appreciate her her stance on music as a woman and as an artist. And it was the greatest co-headline tour I've ever done in my life was with Tori Amos. It was well over 250 shows together. And, it was a phenomenal. Yeah, to be around a master like her, she's phenomenal. And it did rub off. You know, you get to the point where you're with somebody, it's like being with a master carpenter or master painter or incredible mechanic or a race car driver. There ain't no way you're going to walk away from that and be untouched. It was beautiful. Her music is intense. Love it.
And being on the soundtrack for Disney's Pocahontas, too. Lots of kids have grown up listening to that over the years, Bill.
Yeah, that was a trip plus a half. It was weird. It was good. They call me like 10 o'clock at night. We need a real Native American to play real flute on this album to give it some validity. Are you Bill Miller? Yeah. So I go in the next day and the orchestra's there and they're singing it. And what's her name? The big artist who sang Pocahontas. Anyways, I'm there. I'm like, okay, what key is this in? And I had the flute. Luckily, I had the right key. Did it in two takes. But I didn't know what I was a part of, to be honest with you. Like, what is this going on? Pocahontas? It still wasn't out yet when I did it. And then the first time I ever heard it, I was in a truck stop in Madison in a men's room, which men's rooms are very strange places in truck stops. Now they're getting better. Anyways, I'm in a men's room, and there's this truck driver next to me, and he goes, and the song Colors of the Wind comes on. And my head went weird. I'm standing there going, that's me. He goes, what? What are you talking about, dude? Forget it. Don't worry about it. And I heard myself playing flute in a men's room in a urinal.
He wouldn't have believed it anyway.
No, he wouldn't. He was looked like he looked like Paul Bunyan, 6'5", and stand next to me like, don't worry, sir. Don't worry. I didn't want to say anything about it. That's me playing the flute. No. Stop.
Oh, that's awesome. So are you staying busy this year then, Bill? A lot of gigs?
Yeah, there are. They're coming in, and it's just back and forth because I'm trying now to produce a new tour based on the Ghost Dance album that I did in 1999. My management wants to do a big thing with dancers and artistic production where it'd be not just a concert, it'd be a production like a Broadway thing, or I don't know how to describe it, but it's going to be a 2 hours of healing, of music that is there for healing rather than pop hits or anything. It's not cover tunes. It's just me with my guys. So that's going to take some time to get it worked out and investments. And that's my next big project working on. And I'm writing new songs and I'm painting. I'm a painter also, and I'm drawing and painting and enjoying my life, you know, trying to do the best I can.
Well, I have to wonder because you said you were recently married. You know, you've hit this plateau, and are you enjoying life as much now as ever?
I think so. I'm in my town I graduated, Shano, and I'm drinking a bottle of Diet Sun Drop, which was made by the Twiggs Beverage. Now, Dan Hartwig owns and runs it. He's my cousin. I'm drinking my cousin's beverages with my brother, Clint, and I'm in the Shano Cafe. You can't get more hometown than that. I'm back.
Awesome. And you'll be in Richland Center. You like those intimate settings for your music, I'm sure, don't you?
Oh, they're the best. They're better than the big arenas or the big whatever auditoriums where I can't even see the people. It's a beautiful.
You've been listening to WRCE's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Yes, consumers are paying more for beef at the grocery store, but it has not changed their consumption patterns. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. I talked about it with Dr. Glenn Tonsor. Tonsor is a professor in agriculture economics at Kansas State University. He also coordinates the monthly Meat Demand Monitor Survey. Tonsor says the latest survey shows that consumers are anxious about international trade relationships and the potential for unemployment, but they still keep buying beef.
I'll just call it the meat protein is in, right? So this broad desire to have meat protein in your diet. More and more people are telling us they self-declare as a meat consumer. The rate of vegan vegetarianism is actually declining per the MDM. So to put a bow on that is those are trends that are going, you know, they're conflicting. So far, we are seeing retail demand strength hold up. So grocery store for at home, which is consistent with the grilling, as you said. But we're seeing notable weakness in food service, so away from home consumption. And that fits the macroeconomic concern we're talking about here.
Dr. Glenn Tonsor, ag economist at Kansas State University, talking about the latest monthly meat demand monitor. You can take a deeper dive on that consumer information. Go to agmanager.info. That's agmanager.info.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And the last member of the Wisconsin State FFA officer team was announced yesterday. Amala Draxler from Glenwood City has been named the Wisconsin Association of FFA president for 2025-2026. Her parents are Mike and Rebecca Draxler, her advisor, Kirsten Conder. If you'd like to follow up on all the FFA activities from this week's state convention, check it out, MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. That's Food News on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to see some scattered showers and thunderstorms, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, his new column suggests Governor Evers should not run for another term. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Did you know you can pod this program? Absolutely. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And that way you can listen to us on demand, listen back to previous shows as well. We'd love to have you along as a subscriber. All right, let's bring in that Friday panel, Chicago veteran journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Or to be more specific about it, you can get Mark's newsletter at stopthepresses.news. You can also follow him at couriernewsroom.com. Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. Search for @newsjennifer. And, of course, Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel can be heard on Saturday mornings starting at 9 on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Needless to say, the big story this week has been Trump politicizing and militarizing protests against his mass deportation, which, again, took a turn that while some people say it was expected that, you know, you're trolling Home Depot parking lots and things like that. This was also the guy that said, well, I just want to go after the bad guys. I want to get after the criminals and the thugs. Clearly, that's not what's been happening here, Mark. And so it was. It was surprising slash amusing to see Trump post on his little social media site yesterday that he's aware that this mass deportation thing is starting to hurt farmers. And so he's going to make some changes. Is he? And does he really understand? Or was that just a bone to throw out and go, no, I was never just going to go after the bad guys?
Well, I think that that's just a bone to throw out. I think he's just saying that, to try to keep his base in his base, because I think that his base is eroding. His poll numbers are bad. And he's making a mess out of everything. And clearly all these consequences of this immigration enforcement were easily predictable. I mean, come on. I mean, if you got a lot of immigrants picking, farm products, picking crops, and they go away, you scare the hell out of them and chase them out of the country. Well, what's going to happen? How's that going to affect our dinner table? A lot. And so everyone knows that. And so for him to act like, he just woke up a day or two ago and realized that it's going to affect the farm industry is crazy. I just think that I don't think Trump is a member of government. I don't think what I'm saying is I don't think that he's trying to govern. I think he's trying to be political, and I think he's trying to exploit government for his business, but he's not trying to implement policies that help people in any way whatsoever. It's all a matter of him trying to increase his own personal money and power any way he can.
Yes, there's a difference between those who want to govern and those who want to rule. And right. Jennifer, again, it's important to make that distinction that we're having the one discussion about mass deportations and how they're being handled versus the protests against that and how the Trump administration is covering them. And, whether media is covering them as a protest or as a riot, it certainly is apparent that the Trump administration still wants to go full steam ahead, to the point where at a news conference for Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday, a U.S. senator from California wanted to talk to the secretary and was tackled and handcuffed and dragged away despite identifying himself. And while Kristi Noem essentially wasn't really telling the truth, I would argue, about the circumstances behind it, I don't think anybody should hold their breath expecting an apology, and that's things like this won't happen again.
Well, she met with Padilla after the incident, and I was just reading an interview that he gave about that meeting where he said she didn't apologize. So let you know, that's not going to happen. I do think that in a normal world, somebody who was leading a press conference and is in a leadership role in the United States government would have said, hey, what's going on over there? You know, and she kept talking. She did not stop. And just so everybody's clear, she knows who Alex Padilla is. He is the chair of the subcommittee, or the, you know, the ranking member of the subcommittee on immigration in the United States Senate. That is the committee that deals with many of Kristi Noem's issues. She knows who he is. They've met before. When her team says he was engaging in political theater, I would argue they were engaging in political theater by pretending, oh my God, there's gambling going on here. They were, you know, shocked that some, you know, oh, who is that? They knew who he was. She didn't try to stop it. And even as he kept saying who he was, if you watch that video, it's brutal.
And if it can happen to a United States senator from California, Jim, looking at this as an attorney and that people have, you know, First Amendment rights, but if they can do this to a senator, again, you have an increasing amount of law enforcement officials that, honestly, I think have a personal fork in the road they've got to come to, as far as whether they're there to uphold the law or if they are crossing the line into, you know, territory that I didn't think we'd see in this country with hidden police and acting in extra legal means.
Pat, that's one of the principal things that comes to my mind whenever I see, again, the Padilla incident. But beyond that, so many other things where you've got these masked, apparently federal officers and others who are out there executing their orders, doing what they're being told. But I do wonder, again, having worked with law enforcement, state, local, and especially federal law enforcement for the better part of 30 years, these are people who've taken an oath to defend not a president, not a governor, no one particular person, but the Constitution and basic principles about how these things are to work. You have to wonder if an awful lot of them, and we'll get another big test of that this coming weekend, if in fact there is additional involvement of law enforcement stopping these protests, you have to wonder if they themselves, as they're going to work in the morning, engaging in these arrests, whether it's tackling Padilla or doing other things out there, if they are wondering inside their own cognitive analysis, what am I doing here? And it really is contrary to the basic concepts of law enforcement. Once again, to arrest somebody, to place them in custody, just a little bit of civics here again, you got a probable cause to believe that they're violating the law, that there has been some law that has been obstructed here. And again, free speech, as the judge in California just said a day or so ago, it's very strong. And all those things have got to be analysis going on inside the heads of all these law enforcement officers wondering what they're doing.
But yet some of those law enforcement officers, Mark, are targeting the journalists themselves. I mean, firing rubber bullets at reporters and camera crews, which I don't think is accidental. I think that there's a degree of state-sanctioned intimidation going on here.
Well, if you see that video of the Australian reporter and the, you know, the people behind her, the law enforcement officials behind her, people behind her, shoot, that rubber bullet they shot at her, clearly there were no protesters in the area. She was doing a stand up and they're behind her and they fire at her. And it's just shocking. And I think that's one of the things that's when I think most dangerous about Trump is that he has clearly made the news media the enemy and he's made the facts the enemy. And so he's trying to get his people in law enforcement to see it the same way. And to, he doesn't want us to cover this kind of stuff. He wants the cruelty toward immigrants to happen without anyone paying any attention to it or cheering it on. He does not want the facts to be out there.
No, and again, that strongman thing is intentional to try to win some kind of a PR war, if you will. Jennifer, it is very easy. We've talked about AI images, social media algorithms. How did one reporter call it? Catnip for right-wing agitators, all the misinformation that's out there. Should we wring our hands about it here, or can we talk about whether there's any way around it?
I think one of many things we've learned through the Trump years is that all of us, particularly media, but everybody, need to be really careful about what images we collect and we share. And I would say with news media, again, I watched Fox, it almost killed me, and they're so selective about the pieces of video, images from LA that they take to feed their version of things. So there's a scene, if something's on fire, it doesn't matter if that one little thing is on fire over here and nothing else is happening anywhere near it, which is the case in LA. I've seen the map of where the protests are. It's like a teeny little couple blocks. And LA is huge. LA is not on fire. But Fox takes that one little clip of video of something burning, like the Waymo cars, and gives you the impression, the way they treat it and how frequently they share it, that the whole city's on fire. Media collecting those images, I mean, we can't do anything about Fox. They are state media. But everybody else really needs to kind of take a beat on it. It might look really cool on television to have a little clip of fire, but if you're going to use that, you need to tell people the context and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
Right. Another headline in Press Watchers says, how many people were arrested is a lousy way to cover protests. That is not the barometer you should be using. And Jennifer, you point to two different headlines. One says, U.S. Marines deployed to Los Angeles to help quell anti-ICE riots, whereas the other headline says, L.A. protests, Trump sends thousands more troops in authoritarian move. Same thing, two different ways of looking at it, folks.
Reporting on exactly the same story.
Right, yep. From an accountability standpoint, Jim, when we talk about the law enforcement officers, and I don't want to overreact here, but I also don't want to downplay this, that at some point this is all going to pass. To what degree should some of these law enforcement officers understand that there may, I would hope, will be accountability for abuses once this is all over and other people are in charge?
The United States Supreme Court has said just that, Pat. We know that there is constitutional exposure if, in fact, even under assignments, even under direction, you as a law enforcement officer, and that applies very, very broadly, you do something that violates someone else's constitutional rights. You bust down a door without a warrant, without consent. You arrest somebody without probable cause. You engage in a search of an automobile, again, without probable cause to believe that there is something in that automobile. It leads to a scintilla of evidence of a crime. You do those things, you're violating the Constitution, and you've also identified what is in the law regarded as victims of your conduct. It's called Bivens actions. It's after a Supreme Court case that says you can, in fact, file a lawsuit. Frankly, on behalf of the government, I was involved in a lot of those lawsuits, wrestling with what the parameters of that are. And there is that exposure. And it's, frankly, it can't even be monetary exposure. You can plainly get damages against the government for doing these kinds of things. And again, you look back at this Bivens case in particular, as I often do, commend reading it, because it talks about the fundamental right of law enforcement, yes, to do what it is doing to ensure safety and security, but also the right of the people not to have their basic fundamental rights of theirs trampled on by government.
For some of you, a local update is next. For others, we'll continue the conversation here, including ABC firing somebody. The headline from a Mark Jacob video, when telling the truth is a fireable offense. You can catch Jim Santel on Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings at 9, Mark Jacob's newsletter at stopthepresses.news, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter on Substack. Search for News Jennifer. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
All right. Joining us today on WRCO Radio, we have a guy on a hill far away. That's Tom Mueller at Mueller Implement in Dodgeville. It sounds like you have some deals to swing again this weekend.
Still we do, and it's a great time to get here to Mueller Implement for a couple good reasons. One of the greatest things we've done in a long, long time is we've added a new line. It's called the Wright Company. It's called Wright Standard. They're the one that invented the standard. And they have a number of different products that we feel are the best in the industry. So it's a good time for any of our customers to stop and see. We can set up demos and et cetera. But the best of the best is here at Mueller Implement. And, of course, we've been doing that for years. We do not handle any cheap lines as far as quality. We handle only the best. So currently, we have the products on hand, ready to roll, and we've got a lot of knowledge to give you. In fact, one of the machines is autonomous. So you simply drive the area of the lot around and then tell it to go to work, and it just does it. It's just really an incredible machine. Want everybody to recognize there's all kinds of opportunities here at Mueller Implement, especially high-tech and low-tech as well. We also have some programs going on right now. They will end soon. On the 25th of this month, we will have a program running right now, $300 and $500 off, $300 on Apexes, $500 off on our HD series. That goes till the 25th, and that's when it ends. So it's no longer there. So keep us in mind. It's a great time to buy. We've got some great deals going on that. We also have 10% on all of our handheld, whether it's electric or gas. That's simply because we buy it right. If you buy it right, you can sell it right. So we've been doing that. And then there's some programs running anywhere from 20 to 20. Those are programs that the company has come along with, and it's Husqvarna's way of giving you a great deal. Those will go through the 6th of July, and if you're trying to save some money, stop here, because if you're buying anywhere else, you are literally paying too much money. We recognize that, and so it's a chance for you to stop and see us. Phil, we're not hard to find. We're here at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing, and of course those little guys, Farm and Fleet, their lights were on this morning, so I think they're going to make it another day, so hopefully they can anyhow, Phil. You never know when they're going to close, but we're open 7:30 to 5 Monday through Friday, 7:30 to noon on Saturday. If you go to MuellerRental.com, that's our internet site, many things are there, including the product lines we handle, et cetera, along with specials, and, of course, all of our rental rates are there. So if you're thinking about renting something, the rental rates are there, all the information you need to know about it. It's very detailed, so it gives you a chance to look into it. And you simply can give us a call at 935-2751. Don't be afraid to go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and you'll see all of our specials on our used and many other things. Browse through that. You'll find out that we've got some great pricing right now, so it's a good time to buy. It's also a good time to visit us because we are high-tech. We got Robo 1 running around outside, and now we have Robo 2 running with him, too. So we have two robots running out there.
Do they fight?
No, they haven't fought yet, but honestly, they do cross paths, and they do recognize that they can't run into each other. So, and they are operating off the same satellite program. So we got one that's a four-wheel drive. It's in the ditch, going up and down the ditch to show people how steep it can go, and we have the other running around. Robo 1 doesn't seem to be jealous. He's happy, I think, that we have a second robot running out there.
Very nice.
Because we handled the best of the best, we have Aaron's Gravely, Husqvarna, Wacker Neuson, of course, and Landmaster UTVs. We only knew that we didn't have a good standard, so we decided to go out and seek a good product, and Wright was the perfect product. Not only is designed for whether it's landscapers or cities or whatever, it's designed to last for just about ever. You know, we believe in 30-year-plus machines, and this product is impressive. If you haven't stopped in to see it, you need to. You're going to see tie-down points. You're going to see a lot of beefiness. It's built heavy.
People will say that you can finally do the right thing, Tom.
Yeah, I can finally do the right thing, you bet. And if you want to learn more about them, you can go on YouTube. And there's hundreds of YouTubes out there with Wright, with the owner there giving his basic speech and telling you about his products. But we like what we see. We're excited about it. It's a good opportunity for those people that are in the business and large property owners. They're going to realize that they'll have a chance to save a lot of money. One thing that's been very, very important, we have great service, and we want to keep that going. And if you buy from anybody and they don't have service, you're really asking for trouble. Here at Dodgeville, Wisconsin, we pull 60 miles for service. We have everything that possibly comes through the door. We try to get our guys up and going. And, of course, we guarantee a loaner for any mower that's out. So if you're down and broke down, we'll send a loaner free. That's for life. That's our relationship that we establish with you. We also have trailers for our customers to use. They're free to use, coming and going for service. If you buy a new one, you can take it home with you with our trailer and return it a day or so later. Key here is it's all about the customer. So when that customer walks through the door, it doesn't make any difference who he is. We're going to do best we can, and we're going to give you our best effort and great pricing.
Sounds good, Tom. Well, behave yourself this weekend, and hopefully they honor you. Dear old dad's weekend this weekend, right?
That's right. I keep forgetting that. What are you doing?
I don't know. I think they'll probably honor me. Well, I don't know. Then again, maybe not. But it'd be a good thing for somebody to go to Mueller Implement and check it out, right?
You bet, you bet. Mom should come by on Father's Day and buy something.
For Dad.
That's a great idea.
Good
great
idea. All right. Have you a good bet. One, buddy.
Thanks, Phil. Take care.
Tom Mueller joining us from Mueller Implement here on WRCO.
Since 1988, Kinship of Richland County has been matching caring adults with area children ages 5 through 17 who need a little more TLC than they normally receive. Mentors listen and offer encouragement to help the child discover their own path to a fulfilling future. All that's required is a commitment of time and sincerity. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a volunteer or referring a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Monetary donations are also welcome and can be mailed to Kinship, P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. All gifts are tax deductible and greatly appreciated.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Hank.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump responding after the attacks by Israel on Iran's nuclear facilities and the counterattacks by Iran into Israel. ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers says there were supposed to be another round of nuclear talks this weekend, but Tehran pulled out.
President Trump, in a social media post early Friday morning, is urging Iranian officials to reach an agreement on a nuclear deal with the United States. The president suggesting the drawn-out negotiations are what led Israel to launch its overnight strike. Before the Israeli attacks, President Trump signaled he was committed to a diplomatic resolution with Iran and warned that action by Israel could potentially derail negotiations. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Two of Iran's top generals, including the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, said to have been killed in the strikes. There is a meeting this morning of President Trump's national security team to discuss the latest escalation. This is ABC News.